Hey everybody, this is Kyle from Music City Gold. I just want to take a moment today before the show starts and let you know that Penalty Box Radio has been nominated for the Best Blog category in the Tennesseans Toast of Music City for 2017. You know, there's a lot of hard work that goes into making PBR what it is. From those of us who host podcasts, taking pictures, writing articles, or working behind the scenes, we all love what we do, and we would love to have your vote this year. So be sure you click the link in the show notes of today's episode and give us a vote if you would. Remember, voting ends on August 1st. Thank you guys so much for your support. Now let's get to the show. And welcome back to Music City Gold, hosted by Penalty Box Radio. I'm your host, Kyle. With me again this week are my co-hosts, Daniel and Matt.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
I don't know about you, but I've had a pretty good weekend. How about you guys?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's been really busy preparing for a week out playing drums next week. Got to catch some of the highlights this weekend of Wimbledon. How about you, Matt?
Right, yeah. I'm definitely a big fan of Federer, me and you both, so that was pretty awesome. Didn't drop a single set all Wimbledon. I'm busy this weekend as well. I've recently got a new puppy, and he is keeping me up every hour or two in the middle of the night. So,
is this preparation for you and your wife to have a child one day?
It's definitely a good test to see if that's what we want or not.
So how bad are you failing right now?
You know, we're doing pretty good. I feel like a good pup dad. I got the little books to teach you how to teach him how to be a good boy and all that good stuff.
Is it working?
Yeah, he's learning. He's only like 7 or 8 weeks old, so
potty training.
We're still working on potty training and keeping me up in the middle of the night, but it's going pretty good.
So, what kind of dog did you get?
It's a cockapoo, which sounds like a stupid word, but it's a it's a cocker spaniel poodle, and they're like a hypoallergenic, kind of a small dog, which aren't really my favorite. I'm a
note
big
to
dog.
Listeners. He wanted a manly dog.
Yeah, I'm a German Shepherd kind of guy, but since we don't have a yard yet, I thought it would be unfair to have a German Shepherd in the house. So
you want that manly dog? Go with that manly beard of yours.
That's right.
Just like kids, you throw them in the crate when they're misbehaving.
That's right. He likes to chew on my beard. That's what I told somebody at the conference. I said, you know, with a puppy, I get to leave him at home when he misbehaves and go out for dinner, but you guys got to haul your kids all the way everywhere, wherever you go, and they misbehave in public. That has to stick.
At the restaurant. Oh.
So some of you may not know, we joke about Matt's manliness because we all grew up together. And so growing up, we got to see Matt's progression to manly things over the years. What did it start with, Matt? You started with knives and then went to beards and...
Yeah, knives, guns, beards... That sort of thing. Yeah.
A real man's band.
Mm-hmm. So I want to circle back to the Wimbledon thing because I don't follow tennis at all. So is this a big deal as what he's done?
Yes.
So
considering his age, I mean, what is he, 35, 30, 34?
I'm not sure his age, but he is very old for tennis.
Eighth Wimbledon win, most all time for a male. I mean, just the payout alone. I mean, he's made over $100 million just at Wimbledon. It's incredible. And he didn't drop a set, and he's just a classy dude all around. Much yeah. respect for him.
Even if you don't follow tennis, something that I particularly enjoy about him is, like you said, he's a class act kind of guy. He is the definition of a respectable. He's got it all composed on court. He does a lot of charity type. He's just a good guy. And so whatever sport it is, you always want to appreciate those people who do good for the community and do good for others.
See, I couldn't imagine being 35 years old, and you said he won $100 million?
Well, he's won over the time just at Wimbledon. I mean, it was £36.1 million was the purse for this tournament alone, and that's roughly $41 million U.S. dollars. So. See,
I just don't know what I would do. If you said, here's $100 million, I'd be like, I'm going to retire.
He just keeps winning championships. That's what it's all about.
Now, the only reason why I heard about it is because it was such a big deal. And apparently, it's just, like I said, it's a big deal that he won this. But I was reading some sports blogs where people were talking about how he wasn't necessarily becoming a good thing for the sport because he wasn't letting younger people win.
I don't know who told you that. I don't know how that's bad for the sport. They just need to up their game. If you can't beat an old man then as a young guy, then you just have some more work to do.
I mean, Andy Murray went out. Djokovic went out. Nadal went out. I mean, that's his major competition, so. I mean, he just destroyed this tournament, though.
Well, since we're talking about other sports for the moment, I know that Nashville recently had the soccer tournament at the for the Gold Cup at Nissan Stadium. I believe it was USA and Panama played.
Correct. I think it was like 46 or 47,000 people in attendance. It was the largest soccer game hosted in Nashville in history. So, pretty excited about that. It's growing. I know we have our soccer club now.
And I've actually thought about becoming a ticket holder for them, because soccer has always intrigued me as a sport that looks like it's fun. It's got similar rules to hockey.
Very similar. It's actually a lot of the entry styles, offsides, a lot of the rules and strategy kind of interplay with each other. So, yeah.
And cool, even with the players themselves, they seem to like the pregame on playing soccer a bit too, kicking the ball back and forth. Yeah.
Keeps them loose.
So I know we talked about our weekend for a second, but I tell you, I have an idea who's probably had the worst weekend of anybody in the world right now.
Who?
So if you are under a rock and don't really get on Twitter very much, apparently there was a guy named Andrew Fudge on Twitter.
His name is... Oh, man.
Makes who it goes, even better.
I know. He goes by the Twitter handle...
Really
at,
fudged it up.
He goes by the Twitter handle at LittleFudge07, and apparently he entered a contest to win Preds tickets, and he won. Tickets for Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final between Nashville and Pittsburgh. And only today found out that he won the tickets.
Sucks to suck, man.
I don't know what I do. I think I might walk to the pedestrian bridge and throw myself off.
Yeah, that's a bad day.
It's like 10 grand worth of tickets.
I don't know. We couldn't figure out if they were glass seats or what. There wasn't much info on it. But just the fact that those tickets were going for so much and you win two tickets and you miss it. And, of course, it's taken Twitter by storm, because everyone's like, you know, you think you had a bad day or a bad weekend. Look at this guy.
Well, let's hope he at least had some kind of a good evening for those tickets instead of going to the game. At least he had something to do, hopefully.
On the bright side, though, he missed the game, so he didn't have to see Crosby skate that cup around.
And kiss the cup.
Oh, well. So, sorry, Andrew, about your luck. Hopefully next year, if we get that far, if you win tickets again, you can go. And not have to worry about missing this time. So, talking about Preds stuff, Freddie Goudreau got signed today. That's right. Freddie Hockey, one of our heroes of the Stanley Cup Finals, got signed to a 3-year deal today for the 17, 18, and 19 seasons.
Wasn't it a minimum?
That it was. For the 2017-2018 season, and for the 2018-2019 season, he's on a two-way contract, which means he's going to get paid $650K, which is the league minimum. In the NHL level, if he goes down the AHL, he's going to get paid $70K. Now, for the 2019-2020 season, he's on a one-way contract, which means he's going to make $700K whether he plays in the NHL or the AHL. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's a pretty good deal and a good signing for us, because either way, if he's not performing well, then he's going to get bumped back down to Milwaukee, where they'll keep training him. But, I mean, obviously, in the playoffs, he showed that he can earn a spot on the team as far as a day-in, day-out roster player and earn himself a place in the locker room, an actual locker room spot, not a wheel-in one this time.
Oh, no, I think they'll keep him with a chair. They seem to like the fact that he had a chair, and they said it works.
It
they
works.
Weren't moving it.
Don't mess up the juju. Give him a chair the whole season. He'll score 30 goals.
Yeah, but what other records can he break? Wouldn't he the second player in history to score his first 3 goals and in the finals?
Yes.
Correct.
What else kind of record can you top other than that?
That's a hat trick in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, that'd
that
be
would do it.
Maybe they need to downgrade him from a chair to just a stool.
Stool. Floor space only.
Yeah.
No, we actually got you a spot in the hallway. So, since we're talking about the RFAs and stuff, we've got 4 RFAs that are coming up into the 18-19 season. One of them's Joey. So, he's asking for about $8.5 million. Do you think Poile will give that to him? Do you think he's earned it?
Yes, by far. I mean, look at his postseason stats alone. And he was out for 6 games of the finals. And I think, what was it, game 5 and 6 of the Western Conference Finals. I mean, he was injured, and he was still our top points producer. He was an assist machine.
I think they'll give it to him, because right now, the Preds have got $20 million in projected cap space. They've got the money to pay him. I think it's more of, I think Poyle's trying to negotiate with him. The fact that he's not in arbitration, to me, says they're close.
Right.
So I don't know what they'll do. However, though, the two players that are going to arbitration is going to be Austin Watson and Victor Arvidsson.
Arvy's getting paid this year.
Arvy's going to get paid. I think he will, because his arbitration hearing, if he doesn't have a deal signed by July 22nd when he goes to arbitration, he comes off the end of the 17 season making only $640,000.
Nope. Not after his 30-point regular season.
What would you guys give him? What do you think a guy is worth? You know, 3 to 4 year deal. I'm thinking I'd give him a 3 to 4 year deal, maybe $4.5 million.
That would kind of be probably the bread and butter. I mean, I think one reason that we'll be more hesitant to pay up more money was last season just one season. Granted, I don't think that is the case, considering his work ethic and his hustle. I mean, the dude just hustles and he gets goals by proxy.
I mean, goals. You and I were calling him Arvy Hustle during the games because the man is like, he is the heartbeat of this team.
He's one of the smallest players, and he gets, beat up all the time, hit into the boards, and he's like a little springboard. Hit him into the board, comes right back.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a breakout player for you guys this year. If it's somebody I got my eye on, I think.
But he was the breakout player last year.
Right.
Can he repeat it? Because I know they give you money based on your performance, but they also give you money based on can you sustain the level of production you're doing.
I'm gonna pull back my expectation a little bit. I'm gonna say he gets like 25 goals. I don't think he does as well because people are going to be watching for it this year. Last year he took everyone by surprise. This year teams are gonna be watching for him, so it'll be a little different. But
wonder if he gets more play time or less play time this year, because you guys were riddled with injuries throughout the last half of the season going into the playoffs. So I wonder if his role will be reduced now that you have a healthier team.
I don't think it will. He'll stay on the Jofa line.
Yeah, he'll go up to top line again once Joey returns.
Because he's got a proven track record that'll merit him getting that spot.
And you got to think that, oh my gosh, those three were just possession hogs during the playoffs. And when Joey unfortunately got injured, that all went away. I mean, he was our facilitator as a top line number one center, and rightfully should be. But as soon as he got injured, you kind of saw Arvy slack off, and he wasn't as effective in the playoffs. But I think once that line gets back, everyone's healthy and whole, you'll see them probably from the start of the season in top shape, hopefully.
How long of a contract is he on right now? You said he's going to be in arbitration over his current contract.
Yeah, he's RFA. I mean, right now his contract's up.
Okay.
Same thing with Watson. His contract's up too. He ended the 17th season at $575,000.
I'm kind of the opinion, I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to have shorter contracts, because that makes the player continue to keep production up. If I shore up a 6-year deal, I slack off because I don't have to worry about a new contract coming up until my last year of play. So I like to keep him on a short leash, I would think.
You see a lot of goalies, too. Goalies sign these huge, longer-term contracts, and then towards the end of their career, they start slacking off because they're just not nimble enough, not physically able to do it anymore.
Well, that was part of the people's critique of Pecorine this year. Coming in this year was he was on such a long contract, and I think he rebounded to, I would say, almost elite Pecorine. He had several games in the playoffs where he was just, that was the Pekka we've been used to seeing for years.
Key, though, was Saros.
Saros
is good. We played Saros more. I know we're going to ride him more this year to really aid Peck and give him the rest that he needs to perform at an elite level, because come playoff time, it'll be Peck again. But Peck doesn't need to be going all season. And then by the time the playoffs get here, he's already trashed. That's what we were able to do effectively last year. And we need to do more of that this year.
It's kind of like an interesting catch-22, though. You want him to have that rest so he's fresh, you know, towards the end of the season. But if he's doing really well, do you really want to pull him? Because he's giving you W's if he's on a hot streak. But so he's giving you W's, but you still need to rest him so he's fresh later on.
But that was the good part about having UC now. He can come in and be a quality starter, even for a rookie. I mean, he's fantastic. So, that's a great option for us to have. And it worked this year, obviously, because Peck came out and had 2 shutouts in Chicago. So,
I mean, you've got 82 games. If you're going to start Rene, how many games, each of you, how many games would you start him, split him with Saros?
That's a good question.
Yeah, good question. I would give the on longer road trips and back-to-back games, I would start to let Rene back off, and I would put Saros in more during that time because those are more grueling physically. Back-to-back
games for sure. I would definitely do back, like just swap them out. I mean, UC's proved that he can be effective and come in from basically a cold start and put up decent numbers as a goaltender. So,
I'd also take into account the fact that there are some teams that just do bad against certain goalies.
Right,
for example,
for sure,
Edmonton always struggles against Rene. Anytime you see Preds going to play Edmonton, either home or away, Rene could start no matter what because he seems to have their number constantly.
It's like a mental block, really. I mean, to be honest, though, the Penguins kind of had Pecorine. He had never won against them until literally the final series. Like, I mean, we won one, correct? He finally won the two games against them.
He did.
But, like, before that, he hadn't won a single game against them.
I wonder how much of that is a mental aspect.
That's what I was saying.
Because
it's got to be a mental.
They can
block.
Sit back there and not have a shot for 7-8 minutes.
Or 37 minutes.
Yes, that
and
can also
still
happen.
Win.
That's getting a little sidetracked, but yes, that did happen.
I think regardless of what will happen, Rene next season will come into it, and he'll be able to give UC more of the ropes of how things are going to work. And I think he will eventually pull back. And I could see down the road, 82 games. I would say Pekka starts maybe 70% and Saros gets 30%.
I'd say that's fair. I mean, Peck's definitely going to be more of the finished dad for him this year than he needs to be. And you can tell that he is moving and transitioning more towards that role because he is getting closer to the end of his contract. And
right.
He understands that. And he understood that in the playoffs this year. I mean, like you said, and I think our first episode, if you haven't gone to the Players Tribune and read that article yet on Peck, man, it'll make you cry.
I cried a little bit.
Ridiculous.
I had to go in my work's bathroom and cry.
It's
so great.
It's ridiculous because he understands the urgency of winning a cup now. He knows that he probably has about two more seasons, good seasons left, and that's it.
I mean, our window has opened up. I think for the first time, I'd say almost in the franchise history, we have a legit cup window. Now, what I'm curious about here, so Matt gave me some ideas, some of the things we could talk about. And one of the things he marked down here I really want to talk about. It says down at the very bottom of my list, kind of like hidden off to the corner, catty corner, it says, who would win in a dance-off between P.K. Subban and Carrie Underwood? And that's a good question, but I think at the end of the day, I've been thinking about this while
we've
been talking.
It's what all the listeners were thinking about, really.
I know, right?
Do them a favor.
Forget talking
no
about.
No one tweeted us this.
Yeah.
This is just what Matt
this is what Matt came up with.
In the middle of the night when he can't sleep.
Yeah, when he's potty training that dog.
Okay, Matt, who do you got?
I'll let you guys go first.
Oh, my God.
I'll go first. Fine.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to say P.K. Subban.
Why?
Because I think he would challenge Carrie Fisher. No, yeah, Carrie Fisher.
Carrie
Underwood.
Dash
every time.
Underwood.
Every time.
It's not
I think Princess he would Lake. Challenge Carrie Underwood to a dance-off on the ice.
I think he would be bold enough to. I don't think he could take her. I mean, come on. This girl is a professional singer and performer.
Yeah, but what's the variety of her moves? She's just a country music singer, so
I mean,
she only
I
has
say,
the country music style. I bet PK can get in with any crowd.
PK,
I bet he's got a bigger variety of moves.
PK's got the closet, too, and the wide variety of shoes. I will give the upper hand to PK's wardrobe for sure. Have you seen the SportsCenter feature on PK's closet? They did a special on his closet.
Yeah, he has tons of stuff.
Tons.
Even at the ESPYs, Peyton Manning said, let's get the PK Subban having fun. Because, you know, Milbury was like, you know, we can't believe you're having fun out here. You know, you're being a clown on the ice and all this back and forth. And it's
if it's on the ice, Matt,
PK's got it.
Is this dance off on skates?
No. There's no way she can skate as well as he.
Then Carrie.
You don't think Mike Fisher has taught her to skate?
No. Well.
Oh.
Well, not professionally.
Come on.
There's no way.
She is
obviously
his biggest
she's
fan.
Not going to be a professional.
He has had to take her skate.
All right,
times.
Dance floor. Forget the ice.
Dance floor.
Carrie.
I'll say Carrie wins that.
No way. Y'all are crazy.
Carrie wins it.
All right, PK has a louder personality. He loves the spotlight. I'm gonna do that every time. Carrie Underwood, you seen her dancing in the area a little bit during the finals in the playoffs. You've seen her dancing a little bit. Well, she's got a little bit more of a shy nature. I bet she's gonna kind of go back in the limelight, and PK will really step into the mainstream light. I think he's gonna take the cake on that.
So you think if she walks out to one of her songs and starts singing one of her own songs, she's not going to have, like, all these awesome choreographed dance moves to go with
I'm
going to
let you on a secret. You know what she does? She sings. She doesn't spend too much time dancing.
News flash.
If she's too busy singing, she can't spend much time dancing.
She's a performer.
You don't think she can sing and dance at the same time?
No way. PK, he's all about dancing. He's all about the moves.
Apparently. Yeah. That's what it says on Wikipedia right here. No. I'm just saying. If she comes out singing Jesus Take the Wheel, no, she's not going to be throwing down the dance moves, but...
All right. I'm surprised I'm outnumbered on that. You both have
Dirty
her.
Laundry,
I'll
maybe?
I'll take PK on this one.
I would say you can make it a little further, and you should say not necessarily a dance-off. Have a skate-off between PK and Carrie, and then have a sing-off between PK and Carrie.
Well, the sing-off is obvious who wins. We heard PK singing Johnny Cash when he first got here, so that's... Yeah, it's Carrie, but...
Don't quit his day job.
Sorry, PK. You're a great defenseman. Two-way defenseman. You stay there.
Love the man. So, now we're coming to a part that I've had a lot to think about. I've had several, I guess...
Been a heated topic this week.
Been a couple of weeks to talk about this. And this is our jerseys. I want to start off with Matt. Since you are an outsider looking at this, you've seen how the Red Wings did their jerseys. What is your comparison of the Preds jersey?
Garbage.
I mean, I can't say it's good, and I'm a Predators fan.
My first impression was it looks like a Twinkie.
Okay, you ready for this? A Minion.
Yeah.
I'm a Predators fan. It kind of looks like a little Minion. Those are the first impressions here.
My first thought looking at the jersey was, if there is a banana light, if the light goes out in a lighthouse, you can take a Preds jersey, and it becomes the light.
It's a beacon. It's steering those ships safely into the harbor, but here's the deal. I don't think, just looking around at all the league's jerseys, I know some of you have your opinions on which ones you do like better, but I think overall it wasn't really an upgrade for anybody. It was more or less a simplification of the jersey. You saw less piping, you saw less accents. More or less it stayed the same, but here's the deal, and this is what I'm going to say. First of all, the Adidas videos, whoever edited those,
was terrible editing.
Terrible. It didn't look really what it looked like in person, because I've started to see some of these shots online and Twitter of the jersey up close, and actually, it kind of changed my opinion of the jersey a little bit, seeing some of the material. It looks like the material is more premium in person. You can tell definitely on the shoulder pads that there's the perforation.
Yeah, it's like a mesh. It's like a mesh.
It looks perforated, and that does break up. Because that picture that you have right up on your phone right now, that looks horrible. Right. Like that, and that was from Adidas. Like I said, the pictures in person look a little better. I also like the NHL logo. That it looks a little glossy in person.
It's chrome.
It's chrome. And so, yes, I hate it. There are some things that I do like about it better, but more or less, I think it was more of a simplification and just a change of fabric. Like, I didn't feel like any jersey in the league just stood out, and I was like, oh my God, like, you just redesigned your whole thing. No, it was a simplification, and I think you'll see more of the crazy jerseys once we start getting third jerseys.
Yeah, the biggest thing I noticed was, like you said, the quality of the material just kind of looks a little spandexy to me. I don't know. It just didn't quite look as good.
It looks like a jersey.
Right. And I don't know if it goes, everybody on the listening can't see the photo. I've got a side-by-side comparison between the jersey we have.
And original and then the Adidas shot, which is very dark, and you can't really see the quality up close, or you can't see the difference in the yellow or the gold.
Two of the other things I noticed is the jerseys we had a blue stripe along the collarbone area, and this one doesn't. It doesn't break up that gold very well. It's kind of like, the new one has more of a circle neck. The older one looks more like a V-neck. It looks a little better.
And I think the blue should come back.
It's a soccer jersey style, right? I feel like. More minimalistic, more streamlined.
It's you know what? My favorite Predators jersey was the one a couple years ago that was black and or I'm sorry, blue and white.
It was the darker navy and the white one.
Yeah, and the blue, yes. The blue and black checks.
Right.
Love
That's
it.
My favorite.
I think we can all agree.
I can't find that anywhere, and I want one so bad, but I don't want to go buy a fake one.
Right.
Yeah.
So kind of the thing, while I like the older jerseys better than this new one, not necessarily that one's the best one, but considering the one we had last year, it has more of that navy in it, and I like it because it breaks up. The gold is really loud, kind of like the Tennessee Vols has a really loud orange, and something they did jerseys,
yeah.
They brought in gray to tone it down.
Fantastic, by the way, the smoke gray with the orange, and that's why I want for a third jersey, I want a smoked gray with gold piping.
That would look good.
A smoke gray uniform, gold piping, and a white logo. Predators logo. Oh, my goodness. That would look so good.
Was it this year, remember, during some of the games, you guys had a gold helmet, too? Remember
oh
that
my
and how
gosh.
Dumb that looked?
No. Yeah.
Yes.
You need to tone down the gold, bring in the navy back.
We did that all year. That was and that's why I wanted navy helmets with this new jersey.
Right.
But it's not going to happen.
The reason why we did the gold helmets is that was technically our third
oh,
uniform.
Because we didn't have them. But I mean, we are getting, no, consolation prize, we are going to get a third jersey.
Yes, but I'm kind of terrified to see what it's going to look like looking at these.
I know.
I agree with Matt that there needs to be more blue. There was a couple people on Twitter that made their, because most of the fan reaction to that jersey was people didn't like it. Nobody liked it. Some people liked it. It has to. It's one of those things. That it's going to have to grow on you.
I don't think anyone even liked their own jersey. I mean, like, I haven't seen fans.
Vegas liked their jersey because the first one they've ever got.
Was the first one they've seen.
They didn't have a jersey
to compare it to.
Yeah, you have nothing to compare it to. Obviously, you do like your jersey, and theirs was decent. It matches their theme style. Everyone else's jerseys, I looked at them, and there wasn't one that stood out that I was like, "Oh wow, that was a nice redesign." They all looked basically more minimalistic.
What I think we should have done with our jersey is put blue up the top on the shoulders, or take the blue hem on the bottom, bring it up, or put blue stuff on the on the arms. Because like Dallas had it on the arms. I think Chicago's got stuff on the arms. I mean, I went through real quick just to get my top five of what I liked, and I thought the people who won, I guess, jerseys was Capitals, Vegas, Kings, and the Panthers. Panthers already does looks like a European soccer jersey. Because they got the badge of the Panther on it. So it kind of just fit.
Interesting you didn't say the Blackhawks.
No, because I hate the Blackhawks.
I think, I don't know how long this information was, but it's kind of understood people say that the Blackhawks jersey is the best jersey in sports. I don't know who said that.
Definitely
but it's
more
kind
iconic.
Of
it's one of the more iconic jerseys because it's been around for so long.
Right. I really do like it. I know you have a personal bias against Chicago, but it's really pretty. I like it.
I like their jerseys, but... I'm just saying, I didn't think they got an upgrade from Adidas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, no one did.
I
Red
think everybody
Wings
got a
didn't.
Downgrade
I
except Vegas.
I don't even think Red Wings looked
good. I'll put it this way. I looked at every team in the league, and I didn't see one that I liked better than the jerseys
exactly.
that Reebok made.
Exactly. That was my whole thing.
The biggest thing was they took piping away, and that was pretty much the biggest difference.
What is this, amateur hour?
I know.
We're going to get
so
we're gonna get
talking
third
about other
jersey.
Logo redesigns. So... The NHL decided they want to come out. Well, I wouldn't say this at the NHL. The Preds are celebrating their 20th season. They came out with a 20th season logo. And in true Predator fan fashion, the reaction to it was you either hate it, you love it, or you're not really sure where you stand on it. And if you haven't taken a look at it, go to the Preds, go to either Preds Facebook, find the Preds on Twitter. Or go to their site on NHL.com and take a look at it.
We retweeted that as well. So
yes, we did. On the Music City Gold Twitter account, we did. So my initial impressions of it is it's going to have to grow on me. Looking at it, the first thing I thought about, and apparently I'm not alone. I looked at it, and I didn't realize that the zero with the eye is the actual eye from the saber tooth in the jersey. I thought it looked like an owl.
See,
it does look like an owl.
It's borderline, because when I first saw it, I noticed, yeah, oh, that's the saber tooth. And then I've heard others that was like, oh, it's an owl. But at the same time, I think the big grief here that I've seen online is people think that it's going to be like a patch or something going on the jersey. Let me tell you, Adidas is not having none of that on the jersey because they just stripped everything that I liked of the old jersey off. They just took all the piping off. There's no way this is going to be on the jersey.
Come on. You know that that, logo, no way that logo is making the way for ads. No. We're going to have ads on our jersey soon.
Oh, no, no.
Get it out of my face, Kyle.
No.
It's pretty soon, Matt. You're gonna have ads for Little Caesars Hot and Ready Pizza on your Red Wings jerseys.
That would be brutal.
Hot and ready, baby. Subbing those hockey sticks for crazy bread.
Mm-hmm. So real quick, when Matt found out that the Joe Louis Arena was shutting down and the new one was gonna call Little Caesars Arena,
the formidable Little Caesars Arena,
he kind of had a little bit of crisis of faith. Like, we weren't sure if he was actually gonna be a Red Wings fan or if he was gonna finally abandon it and become a diehard Preds fan.
I mean,
at the end.
I felt bad for him. I legitimately think that is one of the lamest names for a hockey arena ever.
Have you seen the recent news? Yeah, that does suck. But somewhat of a consolation prize is we're getting like the best LED Megatron in the world now. It's seamless.
You're getting like it's more than one bowl for every person in the state of Michigan.
It's all those pizza sales.
But, but that's not a consolation. Give me a break. Call it something else. Call it Gordy Howe Arena or something, which is what I named my dog, by the way, Gordy.
Oh, my gosh. You named
for the home
Gordy?
Listener. That's right.
I'm just saying, though, like...
That's a true fan right there.
Is he 9 years old?
No.
So
is he dead? Thanks,
Kyle. No one says... You know, when they went to the Joe Louis, it meant something.
There's
now,
a lot of history
now,
there, for sure.
It's like you're not going to the formidable Little Caesars Arena where dreams come to die.
No. And not to mention the last year in that arena, we didn't make the playoffs.
Oh,
that
you know what?
Really
I was really glad they didn't because I was tired of having to hear you talk about that.
Yeah, I shouted that a lot.
Yeah, every year you're like,
barking.
You know who's made the playoffs for the last 20-something years? Red Wings.
Yeah. Yeah, this patch, or whatever you want to call it, it's
not going on the jersey.
I tell you what, do you like it better or worse than the jerseys?
Wow.
I like it better than the jerseys. Mainly because I don't see it going on the jersey, but I see it becoming the center logo for the ice.
Center logo for the ice? I don't know about...
I don't like it when they
do
that
the center logo.
Ice. When they do anniversary edition... painting on the middle of the
if
center
any,
ice.
If
I don't
anything,
like it.
If it's a patch of any sort, it'll be a shoulder patch of some
I think
sort.
It's, I
no.
Think, no, no. It's not going to be on the... Because I already said Adidas ain't having none of that crap on their jersey.
That guitar
they just
pick
stripped,
y'all have right
I
now
loved
is
it.
Awesome.
I yes. love that.
And that's part of things what makes Nashville's jerseys unique is you got the guitar pick on the side, you got the piano keys in the neck,
yeah,
and then if you
like
look at the numbers, they're guitar strings that go through the numbers.
Yeah. Very, very... Music City themed. I'm just going to say a lot of this is, I think, going to go up around the arena as signage, banners, maybe on the concourse floor. I think that'd be cool.
I tell you what, this at least the one thing this has going for it is that it is at least noteworthy. It doesn't look very run-of-the-mill. It's at least kind of creative, and it's even better that it's going to be used maybe for only special occasions. Hopefully it won't be on the jersey that I see every day.
No. Also, nice to note, in between the years... Are three stars right. representing Tennessee.
The three Tri-Cities.
Yeah, the Tri-Cities.
I don't even know what the Tri-Cities
well,
are.
It's the three stars.
Well, not Tri-Cities. You have the Tri-Cities in like northeast Tennessee.
But
it's the three sections. It's West Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and East Tennessee.
But that said, those are the three little stars right there. So I thought that was a nice, you know.
I bet you Michigan doesn't have that, do they?
Right. And if you this whole saber-tooth thing, the only people who... Supposedly, the Sabretooth came as a logo because some kind of archaeological find in Nashville area. But the only people who know that that happened were people who were trying to give an excuse for why they chose that as a logo. If you ask anybody in Middle Tennessee, nobody really knows about that. That's just really odd to me.
Well, you know, like when they were trying to come up with names
oh my
for the
God.
Preds.
Do you know the names that were thrown out, man?
There was like they were like the Nashville Attack.
Fury.
Oh, yeah.
Are
yeah.
you kidding?
Yeah, real.
We're going to sound like a
roller,
volleyball. Yeah.
Roller derby sounding.
Yeah, I'm so glad we went with Predators. My goodness, that'd have been worse than the Little Caesars.
But
right
you
now.
Can see the gold color itself. The gold is kind of bleeding to other sport teams. So like the National Soccer Club, their uniforms are gold.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's really
cool. I do like that we have unique color, at least, as long as you tone it down a little bit. But I like unique colors.
See, that much gold is good for like a soccer team because it's just one uniform. You're outside in the sun. It kind of just goes together with it. When you're on the ice... It kind of, to me, kind of almost distracts
we'll
just
see.
A bit.
I will reframe full judgment of jersey and logo until seen on ice or in person at the arena. I will give it tons of crap right now, but we will see come October the 5th.
All right, Kyle, who did you say your favorite jersey was?
Was the blue and black check third jersey.
Okay, what about league-wide? Not just the new design, just in general. Do you go based on logo or colors?
Oh, the Oilers. I love their jersey.
Why?
It's just iconic, really. I mean, you could also say that about the Habs jersey. Love the Habs jersey. But once again, I didn't feel
I generally don't like red, white, and blue because it's so overplayed. But theirs is so iconic and historic that I'll give that a pass.
I love both those. Those are both classics, in my opinion. I like those. I do like the Predators jerseys. I like the gold. Like you said, it's very unique. We have overdone it on this new... Well, Adidas has overdone it, but...
Predators gold, loud and proud.
I'm really hoping they make it up on a third jersey.
So, for my jersey, Adidas. I am a big fan of the Capitals jersey.
No way. Give me a break.
Oh, I love it.
They're the definition of overused red, white, and blue.
They're in the
patriotic.
Nation's capital. Yeah, what else did you think they were going to use?
Boring.
I would say, other color-wise, as much as I hate the Ducks, I do like their black and orange color palette. Well, it's unique. It's not common. Kind of like the gold in the Central Division. It's unique to the Pacific Division.
I personally like the Mighty Ducks jerseys, but that's just me.
If I'm going the black route, my favorite jersey might have to be the Kings. That all black jersey looks smoking.
You talking about black Calgary's
black with the white letters?
Calgary's red jersey with a black C.
Yeah.
Oh, you know the Senators also had that one jersey, the striped one here recently. It was like black and red. I love
got
that.
Got the O in the middle of it.
Yeah, I really like
shows
that.
How many cups they got.
Oh.
Cha-ching.
So one of the things I asked the guys to do before they came over was I said, I want you to give me five teams that you don't want to play for, no matter if your life depended on it. So they've seemed confident they got their list. I've got mine. We may agree. We may disagree.
Oh, there's going to be some disagreement.
I'm sure there might be some heated discussion about whose list sucks. I'm sure Matt's list sucks the most.
Spoiler alert.
Because he's got his bias stuff.
Spoiler alert. Red Wings and Blackhawks not on my list. So you're safe.
Spoiler alert.
I should have done Red Wings, all top five, but no.
Spoiler alert, they're not on mine either.
That's surprising. You thought for sure Kyle was going to put Blackhawks on it.
I just read my list. Spoiler alerts, one team is not on it.
Oh. Hmm. I wonder which one.
Yeah, I wonder which one indeed.
All right, Kyle, start us off with your number five.
So number five is Coyotes.
Dang it. Wow. Okay, that was my number five, Kyle. Go ahead.
Well, the reason why I said is because Glendale's a terrible location. Hate it. It doesn't seem to be the best place.
No way.
Why do you say that?
Well, I've actually been to Glendale, and I loved it. I love Phoenix. I love Arizona. Yeah, you might say that Glendale is out by itself, but...
It is. It's like a suburb. That's the thing that hurts me, is it's like, if it were closer or like in the city of Phoenix, I think, man, you're going to have much more attendance. Like, it's just...
But the energy of the environment there, every time someone scores,
they
you get
howl.
To howl.
Yeah,
and yeah, every time that they did something good, a howl or a big check in the boards, I found every instance that I could to just howl with them. I was going along with it. Oh, I loved it. And I really liked their retro jerseys, as you were mentioning,
good.
Kyle. I love those.
The Kachinas? You talking about the Kachina jerseys?
Right, yeah.
You talking about Howler, though. He actually is a real drummer.
Yeah, he is. I know. And I do like that, but... Anyway, okay, well, that was my number five, too. Most of the reasons for Kyle. So, Matt, let's start us off with your number five. What do you got?
All right, my number five, I got the Florida Panthers. And you know why that is, Kyle? I see you shrugging your shoulders at me. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. Their logos get increasingly stupider.
Disagree.
Stupider.
That's
great word.
Dumber and dumber.
It's a great logo.
No, it looks like a puma. It looks stupid.
A puma?
Take your
bias out. It
looks like
something from The Lion King.
Easy, Ace Ventura. I mean, like, geez.
And talk about non-traditional hockey market. I'd rather play for any other team in Florida than the Panthers.
Whatever. They just said Nashville's a non-traditional hockey market. Look at us.
Yeah. I tell you what, Florida does have, it's got nice weather. But no, I'd
really?
Rather play for Tampa.
I really don't know. It's humid as all get out down there.
I will say, though, if I had the options, I have been to see Tampa play live. And I do like Tampa's arena.
And you know what else? I just don't like the Panthers. They don't have any excellent standout players that come to mind. I just can't see myself playing, except for Jager right now.
They don't have him
right now. They don't have any more?
Well, I don't think they have him.
They haven't locked him down again.
Yeah, they've not locked him down. No one's
other
called
than
him,
I would have no reason to play there.
The Everglades are calling him. So
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
like Kyle. Retirement's calling.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he's getting
there. All right,
there.
So number four for me was the Canucks.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Mainly because I think the ownership has no idea where they're going.
Whoa.
They've had, let's see here, 5 head coaches since 2006. And it seems like every time they get a little bit of adversity, the ownership freaks out and cans the coach.
Coaches get traded about as much as hockey players do.
Which is why I don't understand. Vancouver could become a good team, but they've got to have good draft picks. They got to have good trades. When you think about the Canucks, the only two players that come to mind are the Sedin twins. I can't think of anybody else. Robert Luongo was there. He's in Florida now.
Panther dead end down there in Florida. Right. Retirement home.
Yeah, the third most famous Canuck player, I can think. Yeah, Roberto Luongo, who doesn't even play there anymore. Right.
I will say, though,
their management's been terrible. I mean, their coaching staff, like you said, it's been a revolving door. So
yeah,
their newest coach is
Travis Green. He's fresh up from the AHL.
That's a good pick, Kyle. That was a good one for four.
What's your number four, Daniel?
Number four, the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
A dead end. That's what it is.
The eye of the hurricane.
I just made landfall. Here's the deal. The height of the Hurricanes happened when Lobby was there.
Right.
And since then, it has been a spiral out of control.
Has it been a disaster?
It's been a disaster. I mean, a state of emergency, really.
Natural disaster.
A state of emergency to the fact that they're actually trying to sell the organization right now.
That's right.
For $500 million to Chuck Greenberg.
$1 million.
$500 million.
Yeah. Anyway, $500 million.
They're so desperate, they're acquiring old Blackhawks players.
Yeah, it's not the place to play right now. Hopefully, Chuck will turn it around, make them more profitable. I know they were bleeding money, so turn it around, my friend, and take it off the list next year. Hopefully, you can prove me wrong.
Hey, maybe Justin Williams will help you guys out. Trying to bring the old band back together.
Hmm.
All right, what's your number four?
All right, my number four is the Winnipeg Jets. Now, I love Canada and Canadian hockey teams, with the exception.
Really, A?
A, that's right. With the exception of the Jets, I consider them to be the least noteworthy out of the Canadian teams.
The redheaded stepchild.
Right.
The Canadian league.
Very.
Former Atlanta Thrashers.
Right. So, they're very. I'm so disinterested in them. That's got to be my number four.
All right. Well, my number three is the Ducks, because I consider them the redhead stepchild of California hockey.
Wow. I kind of agree to disagree with you, but go ahead, Kyle.
You look at their time in the Western Conference Final when they couldn't even get people in the arena. First time was fine. I understand.
Oh, you're talking about for the games?
Yeah, the 4 o'clock start was okay. I understand it's trouble. But once you have later start times, you still can't get people in the arena? You got a problem. And it seems like California, it's either you're a huge Kings fan if you're in the area, or you're a Sharks fan if you're in that area. But if you don't know where to go to, you kind of just go to the Ducks because they're kind of like, here, take us. We have nobody else. That's just me, though. I think that eventually, personally, I wouldn't be surprised, or I wouldn't care if eventually one of the teams moved.
You equated them as the redheaded stepchild. I think of them more as like the ex-girlfriend, the crazy ex who kicks you when you're down, you know, the whole Corey Perry kind of scene.
Or Kessler.
Oh, my God. They have so many people that I just dislike a lot. Anyway, speaking of fans, that gets me to my number three, the Senators. You know why?
Senators, eh?
I love their jerseys. I love Canadian hockey. I like the Canadian teams. But they kind of hurt me during the playoffs when they couldn't even pack a Western or an Eastern Conference Final game.
When they took them to game seven.
When you still have empty seats in a home arena in Canada, something is wrong.
It's kind of my understanding that there's not a whole lot of Senators fans outside of Ottawa. Apparently you can't even draw that much attention in Ottawa.
That's the thing. Like, the arena's in Ottawa. Right. I mean, like, it's not like you're in Glendale, a suburb. You know, it's like, and it's Canada hockey.
I would have thought you'd draw some crowd with Carlson kicking some butt.
Dude, Carlson was destroying.
I guess even Carlson wasn't enough to get him to come.
By the way, they're a wild card, and they're playing the Penguins, defending champions, and you can't pack out your own building. Sorry. no loyalty, and that blows my mind. I never thought I'd say that because it's a Canadian team. But and I love your jerseys. Sorry, but sorry, Senators.
Well, speaking of the Senators, my number three has nothing to do with them. My number three is actually...
Thank you.
My number three is actually the New York Islanders.
Oh.
If I'm going up to the Northeast, if I'm going down up and down the I-95 area, they are the most... I'm sorry, they are the least interesting team to me. I would rather play at any of the other teams from New York.
You would rather play for the Devils.
Well, that's New Jersey, but...
That's still very close.
Yeah. Specifically New York. They're my least favorite team from New York. Very unnoteworthy. Who plays for them? Oh, I don't know. A bunch of scrubs.
That's what you said about the Predators.
Yeah. That's my number three.
I know, I'm just putting that out there.
The Islanders.
Okay, number two, Kyle.
My number two is Blackhawks. Simply put, I hate them.
Oh,
that's it.
No.
It's got some salty grapes there.
Why else?
Because they can't get past their glory days. You saw this coming.
Glory days? They just won. Like
a couple years ago?
Yeah, but they're so desperate after getting bounced by St. Louis and Nashville, they're like, we have to get the band back together.
Get the band back together. So I will say that was kind of weird.
So to me, that says you're living in the past and you...
Oh, my God. They're the best team in the Western Conference this year.
You trade Panarin to Columbus to bring back Saad.
Well, yeah.
You're getting the older...
And Patrick Sharp.
Yeah,
you're getting
the older Stanley Cup team. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
No,
we'll see if it pays off, but I'm just saying, I see where Kyle's going.
If you make too many moves, you risk screwing stuff up. Like I said, you're already the best in the West. How much do you really need to do?
I really didn't think they needed to deconstruct it as much as they did. I really liked Panarin.
I get their diehard fans give them some crap for the way the playoffs turned out.
Well, they're
but
spoiled. They got used to winning, and then they get bounced 2 years in a row, St. Louis, and then Nashville sweeps them. That did not help at all. If you're number one seed and you got swept, I mean, the management basically had their hands tied because the fans were ready to break down the doors up there. So, I mean, I get it, but I don't know.
What's your number two, Daniel?
Number two, and they can prove me wrong, but it's the Golden Knights. And we have no track record for this.
Understood.
But hold on. But let's just think about this for a second. Is it a tourist attraction or a trap being in Vegas?
Both.
Are they going to have casinos on the concourse? Slot machines. You better believe it. You know that's... You're laughing because you know they're going to have some sort of magic show probably during in-between intermissions.
Why not?
That's what you do in Vegas.
We have the bandstand during halftime.
Put it this way. They love the fantasy betting on DraftKings.
Oh, my goodness.
They're in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying...
I wouldn't mind seeing Siegfried and Roy come out during their intermission on the ice.
I'd be scared to see what comes out on their ice in halftime show.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be some interesting things that happen in that arena. Prove me wrong and win. And you know what's crazy is I think they're actually going to have a decent team for an expansion draft, considering they got Fleury. Yeah, I mean,
they got a lot more than we had in our expansion.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, there was a lot of options this year. I felt like this was probably the best year for them to join the league just because of all the different options. But I just think it's more of a smoke and mirrors like attraction show right now. Like, hey, Vegas just got a new team.
Interesting to know, the NHL beat football to getting a professional sports team in Vegas, and they said that was a big deal too. That shows really good signs for the NHL market and what we're doing in hockey in America.
It did.
All right. Well, you mentioned the Hurricanes is a natural disaster. Well, you know another disaster? It's my number two team, the Colorado Avalanche.
Ooh.
That's right.
This is rough because back in the day, they were good. This is your rival,
that's
Matt.
Right. In the
this
90s,
is your rival.
Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg.
They were
hey,
kicking butt.
That's right. I respect
now,
them a lot.
I like them. I really like the
now they are. Depth. They're causing legit avalanche.
They are drowning underneath the snow that is just compiled
on
top of
the
them.
The current state of hockey in Colorado is not very pretty, so I'm going to have to pass as my number two.
Hard
the
pass.
Avalanche.
He's going to go to Colorado to snowboard this year, not to go to the Avalanche game. Wow.
Oh, goodness. All right, well, my
number one. Here we go for everybody.
Daniel said it. Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hurricanes.
Okay.
Everything he said.
Just ditto?
Ditto, everything. Literally, it's if your team is on the verge of being sold and you don't know if you're staying, because it looks like they're going to stay.
Bleeding money, yeah, but when you're bleeding money,
but your when your off-season topic is not necessarily who you picked up, and it's more of, are you even going to have a team in Carolina? I don't know. I don't think I want to go there. How about you, Daniel? What's number one?
Number one. Oh man, this is going to be so controversial.
Let's hear this one.
Oh, you're going to love it. My number one team that I would not play for currently. I say this currently. The Washington Capitals. You know why,
Get
Kyle?
Out of here.
You know why?
Get out.
Because I don't like choking.
Oh.
And that's what they do every single year. If you come out with a President's Trophy in back-to-back years and you choke both years, and they've finished consecutive, like, I mean, high in the league the last several years, and they cannot get it done. And I'm sorry, Barry Trotz, he basically grew us up from what we were as a franchise, but something is wrong and it is not getting done in Washington. I do not want to be the best team and choke every single. I would rather be a wild card team as the Predators come in, sneak into the playoffs and go all the way to the finals. They didn't even make the final, by the way, the last 2 years.
Right.
Fine, I'll give you that. I won't argue.
Chokers.
That.
Well,
I'm not into that kind of stuff.
You Well, you mentioned, we were talking about jerseys earlier. I don't know if you heard this, with the new contracts, the Capitals were actually looking into getting special jerseys for the playoffs. But so they had a contract in the making, but it turns out they had to recall them because the jerseys came with a major choking hazard.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. All right, Matt, ooh, what's your number one on that topic?
All right, so that leads to the best of the best here.
Man.
The worst of the worst. I think the only one that all three of us had in common, the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes.
It's an arena that I have been to as well.
It's a disaster.
It is the most unnoteworthy. I could care less about watching their games. Even when I was in the arena,
how
I was
boring,
like,
is it?
It was
I've
super
heard,
boring.
I've heard it's super boring.
It is.
Okay.
So I could do without the Carolina Hurricanes, as all three of us could.
I put them higher on my list just because I haven't been to their arena.
But
so
that's
I couldn't judge them.
That's the only one that all three of us mentioned.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we've all agreed that no matter what team we play for, we don't want to play for the Hurricanes. So I think we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you guys for listening to us. This is our second episode. If you haven't listened to our first episode, please go to penaltyboxradio.com and click on the SoundCloud link. That will take you to it. You can find us on iTunes under the Penalty Box Radio feed. Also, if you want to talk to us on Twitter, we do have a Twitter account set up called...
send us your questions.
That's right.
It's called...
Follow
at
us.
Music City. Yeah, it's called at Music City Gold. Daniel, Matt, and myself all have access to it, so we will run it occasionally. When we comment, if it's not a retweet or anything, we'll have our names at the end of it.
Yeah, please send us your questions, because I feel like I'm talking in an empty chat room with nobody else listening.
Matt just stays up at night.
Back to Matt's
dreaming
glory
who's gonna
internet
win
days.
Dance-offs,
that's right.
Apparently. So please give us better content than what he just thought of for our episode, because obviously we're struggling.
Yeah, you can also reach out to me personally if you want to follow me. I don't tweet a lot of stuff, but you can reach me at, my Twitter handle is at Kyle Hancock.
Very original.
Hey, you know, I got my name. Most people can't do that. Yeah. That's it for this week. I'm Kyle. Once again, with me is Daniel and Matt.
See you guys.
See you later.
And you guys all have a good week, and we'll see you on the ice. Yeah.